The voice of the Spirit, we who follow Christ in the regeneration have actually come to the end or the ends of the world. We stand in the end. St. Paul says that we are those upon whom the ends of the world have come. So the end of the world has got nothing to do with the whole world system as we see coming to a grinding halt in a moment. There's always this impression that, you know, something will happen and everything will just come to a halt and God will usher in His kingdom, beautiful kingdom, where there will be peace and love and everything, and Christ will come in the sky and establish a kingdom somewhere in Jerusalem, and all many diverse versions concerning the end of the world. But reality, the end of the world has already come. Those who are awakening to truth, those who are awakening in the reality of what Christ is, do stand in the end, because Christ is not of this world. So we who are Christ are not of this world either. Praise God. See, the work of the Spirit is to gather our souls, to gather us out of this world, and this thing happens internally. It's not something that we can observe with the physical eyes or with any physical senses. These things occur spiritually. Praise God. So what the gospel we hear and the work of the Spirit and everything that the Lord is doing in our lives is all about gathering us out of the lower places of the earth called the world back into the place of life in God's kingdom. Praise God. Now if we quickly rush, let us read some of those scriptures famous scriptures in Matthew, Mark and Luke concerning the end. Let us refresh our minds with these things again. I'll just start off from Matthew chapter 24 verse 14. I'll read this briefly. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Now Jesus Christ says here in Matthew chapter 24 verse 14 that the gospel shall be preached, the gospel of the kingdom. Now the gospel of the kingdom is the good news of God's realm, God's word. See, the word of God's only begotten, the kingdom of God's dear son. This is the kingdom that God has promised us, a new heavens, a new earth. This is our inheritance forever. See, and it is good news because entering into that kingdom, receiving these good tidings and entering into that kingdom means that we enter into our rest. All the worries, the pains, you know, the torments, death and everything that is associated with this present world, the corruption and everything that is associated with this present world is no more. We enter into a new kingdom where everything is beautiful, everything is wonderful, where we live by the power of God. We live in absolute oneness with the living God. Now this is the gospel that we preach. Praise God. Now, it's a spiritual kingdom. That's the gospel of the kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom, and this thing is something that we can realize only as we realize the mystery of ourselves. Only as we realize the mystery of Christ in us. That gospel that is preached is actually the voice of the Father sounding through his messengers. It goes through the messengers. Jesus Christ spoke the voice of the Father, and that was the voice of the Father speaking through Jesus. That is the evangel, calling men, inviting men back into the God's glory. Praise God. Now, as this gospel is preached, it exposes the abomination that causes desolation. Now, you see it? He said, when you shall therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel, and he says, let the reader understand. That means it's only those who are endowed with spiritual intelligence that can understand this. But people are still waiting for some kind of outward sign in Jerusalem where some kind of antichrist will arise or something will happen. Already people are already trying to equate the earthquakes in Japan to something that has got to do with the end of the world. See, but understand that the abomination that causes desolation becomes apparent. We begin to see, we begin to understand as the gospel is preached, as our understanding is illumined. Praise God. Hallelujah. It exposes the abomination that stands in the holy place. Now some of us don't realize that we are God's temple. See, we are the holy place of God. This is the sacred habitation of the living God. We are that temple. We are that holy place. See, but all along, something else other than God has been sitting there. Praise God. So you see, the gospel exposes this abomination, and that abomination today is actually the human identity that we've born, you know, after the flesh. It's our earthly identity. See, that is the identity we've born that has cost us so much pain and so much sorrow and so much trouble and so much problems. That is the identity that we have born that has kind of erected a barrier between us and God. Praise God, but as the gospel is preached and our comprehension begins to be illumined by the Spirit of God, that barrier is broken. Hallelujah. That wall, imaginary wall of separation between us and God, is destroyed, so that we can once more flow in freely, liberally, in that everything that God is. No more alienated from the life of God. Hallelujah. So you see, the thing that blocks the flow of the Spirit of God, that blocks the flow of the living waters in man, is simply human identity. The false identity after the flesh, and it has cost us so much sorrow, so much pain, so much fear, anguish. Praise God. But the gospel from above begins to testify of the truth. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ says, I will send you the Spirit, and the Spirit will do what? It will testify concerning me. Now, if you go quickly to the book of John chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me, and you also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Now you see, the Spirit of God, which is the breath, the active force of God, working in us today, raising us up from the dead, or rather raising us up from the deadness of our human identity, back into that glorious image of Christ, simply does one thing, and that is to testify of the truth. It testifies of Christ. It testifies of me. Praise God. Of course, the Spirit of God is not testifying of Jesus born in a manger. It's not testifying of a human Jesus. Rather, it is testifying of the glorified image of Christ, which represents the true image of every living man. That's why he says, I am the true witness, in Revelations chapter 3, verse 14. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And unto the church of the Laodiceans write, this thing said the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. See, that which is from the beginning is true. The beginning of the creation of God, that which is from the beginning is true. Anything that comes after the beginning is a lie. So you see, can see that we are being raised up so that we can rediscover our beginning. And the beginning is actually Christ, who is the image of the living God. See, it says the true witness. Hallelujah. The true witness. And the true creation of God. It's very important we understand the communication of the Spirit here. When Jesus Christ says, the Spirit shall testify of me, let us cancel this image of a beautiful, handsome man you know, of Hebrew extract and all that kind of stuff. Rather begin to recognize Jesus after the Spirit. And recognize that Jesus Christ is our life. That is our image. That is the real you and I. You see, as Jesus Christ transfigured upon the mountain of transfiguration, the Father, a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." See, now, what God was trying to say is that look at yourself, look at your image. That is your true image. See, return back to that state. So that you can stand immaculate in the place of all power and all glory. Hear him. Paul admonishes us that we who hear should not refuse him, because this is the grace of God unto salvation. This is the only way by which a man can be saved, is by recognizing his true spiritual, celestial, eternal attributes from the beginning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, if in John chapter 25, verse 27 says, "You shall bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning." See, I can change that a little and say that we have been in him, or we have been as him. We have been him in the beginning. Praise God. Our bearing witness, we bear witness as we stand in the beginning. Now, if we have come to the end, we are actually in the beginning. The end of the faith is the beginning. See, like you see in the circle, if you start from some kind of point in the circle and go around the circle, you discover that the beginning is the end. See, and the beginning is that which is original, that which is perfect, that which is in God, without flaw, without blemish. That is the beginning. So somewhere along the line, we died. We descended into a realm, and we started to, you know, meddle with idols. We created a world of our own, a dimension of our own. I started to relate to things that are not, things that don't have life in them, things that are just, it's just like when you see a child playing with the dolls, with the dolls and puppets and all that. That is how we walk around as men upon the earth. Some of us think we have family, some of us think we have, you know, some kind of relations on the earth, but you discover that all these things are just imaginary. There's a dimension called eternity. It's God's kingdom. See, this gospel is here to lift us up. As long as we remain in this lower realm as men, living in the false, we only suffer tribulation and pain and anguish of soul and fear and everything. We are cut off from the reality of that flawless life of God. Oh, praise God. Let's go back to the ends. Mark chapter 13. This is Mark's version of the end. I'll just take a little part of the scripture from there. Mark chapter 13 verse 27. It says, "Then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost parts of the earth to the uttermost part of the heaven." Now, what is he talking about? This is the gathering. This is the work of the Spirit. This is the work of the Father today. As you hear these voices, this kind of messages, you are not hearing a man speaking. We are actually fellowshipping with that voice of the Spirit. Because the work of the angels actually is that the angels, they gather by simply announcing the good tidings. It is the same voice. They announce with that same one voice, which reveals the heart of the Father calling his sons back home, gathering us from the lower places of the earth. Because we descended into the lower places of the earth. We descended into the realm of the dead. We descended into the realm of absolute darkness, the abyss, where there is absolutely no knowledge, no understanding, nothing. It's just darkness. See, there's nothing a man can achieve or do as long as he remains in that lower realm. So he sends forth his angels, his messengers, and they are gathering. This is why we are hearing these messages today. Hallelujah, there is an awakening, praise God, standing, happening today in our midst. Praise God. He's guarding us from the uttermost parts of the earth, which is the depths, the deep, deep places of the earth, back onto Mount Zion, which is the peak of creation, the pinnacle, where God's kingdom is found, where God's glory is found. See, it where you have the eternal presence dwelling. It's only in that place we can know joy. Only in that place we can know peace. Only in that place we can know healing. Only in that place that we can walk in true liberty, in righteousness, knowing that we are pleasing God. As long as we are down there in the depths, in the world, in these lower realms, walking after the flesh, according to the imaginations of our hearts, we cannot in any way recognize our true immaculate righteousness before God. There is no way we can stand boldly before the Father. There is no way we can walk liberally in the Spirit except we ascend back to that place of Zion. Only in the Spirit can we walk in the liberty, in the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Hallelujah. That's why it's good to hear, to listen. Mind how you hear. Mind how you hear. And as you hear these things, let these things be applied to your life. Jeremiah confirms the workings of God in our lives. Now you see different versions. If you read the book of Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, virtually all the prophets speak about this gathering from the lower places. They virtually speak of the redemption of the saints. Praise God. And this is the thing that is to be desired more than gold, more than any other thing. Because one day you just awaken and you will discover that you just lived a lie. You lived in things that are not. You lived in relations to idols, things that are, you know, they seem to be, but they are not. They appear for a moment, after which they vanish for eternity. Paul says that the things that we see are what? They are temporal. Temporal, for the moment. But the things that we do not see are what? They are eternal. See, the time has come to awaken to that eternal life. That life in, you know, in eternity. Let's not, you know, be entangled with the beggarly elements of this world. Praise God. We move on. Jeremiah chapter 29. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years, they accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good work, a good word towards you, in causing you to return to this place. Now, to which place? He's talking about Zion. Back to the promised land, back to the, you know, to God's kingdom. Now, we must understand we all descended. We all have experienced this same exile that the children of Israel experienced. If the children of Israel were cast out for 70 years, you know, and taken captive by the king of Babylon, and they were dispersed among the nations of the earth. See, the singing ceased, the festivities ceased. The city that used to be the joy of the earth was no more. But God is revealing to us His desire and His will for our individual lives. And I tell you, the will of God never changes. The mind of God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. And His good word towards us, we read it now in, go on in verse 11, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call unto me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and what, and find me, and you shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, said the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from among all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, said the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Praise God. Hallelujah. We are carried away captives in our descent into mortality. We were carried away. We became slaves to the beggarly elements of this world, slaves to corruption. See it? We became mere mortals. See, we descended from the realm of the Elohims. From the realm of the begotten of God. See, that's why we've suffered here. That's why we don't know peace. We've had all kind of sorrow and pain and all that kind of stuff. But Jesus Christ says one thing, that in me you have peace. Only in Christ can we discover that peace. Only as we rediscover the secret of ourselves that we can know what peace truly is. So you see, the Father is revealing His will towards us, His good will, thoughts of good towards us, is in gathering us back. Gathering us back onto that holy name. Gathering us back into His kingdom, which is the New Jerusalem. Oh, hallelujah. So you can see, even though Jeremiah and all the prophets, Ezekiel and co, did not understand what they were saying, obviously they were prophesying in relation to the physical Israel we have upon the earth, but let us understand that these are purely spiritual prophecies that are to be discerned spiritually. See, these are eternal prophecies that affect our faith, you know, that speak about our ascension back into glory and all power. Praise God. So you see, the Father, the gospel is announced, and the Father sends forth His messengers. There is the voice of the Spirit working in us today. Like we said, the voice of the Spirit is here to simply testify of the true creature of God, to testify of that beginning of God's creation, to testify concerning the true witness in us, which is Christ. See, that is the only one that is known of God. Every other image, every other imagination that we have born is just an illusion. So that's why we must let go of the old to take a hold on the new. Hallelujah. That's one thing Jesus Christ says concerning the end. Luke chapter 21, verse 19. This is Luke's version. Jesus Christ is talking about the end here. We can now see that the end of the world is not something that can be discerned externally. It's not something that occurs when this whole world comes to a grinding halt. See, it's something that occurs individually in us as we are sent back into Christ. As we are waking back into the reality of Christ in us, and as we are waking in the reality of Christ in us, we discover God's kingdom, because the kingdom is His. praise God, it's the kingdom of God's dear son. So it's only that which is Christ that has access to God's kingdom. No man has access to God's kingdom. See, the kingdom of Christ is a spiritual kingdom, an invisible kingdom, a kingdom in light, which no man knoweth, nor can any man approach. See, no man knows that place, nor can any man approach it. It's impossible. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. See, so we must understand it, that entrance into God's kingdom means the end of the old. It means the end of our world. The end of the world. Praise God. Now, the kingdom of God, the gates of the kingdom of God have been open throughout eternity. God never ever shut the door on anybody. Praise God. The kingdom, the gates are always open. Now, the reason why men cannot enter in is because they are groping in outer darkness. They cannot even find a way to the door. But Jesus Christ says, what? I am that door. I am that door into God's kingdom. I am the door into the New Jerusalem. I am that door. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. So instead of trying to devise religious methods, trying to go around the wall or trying to enter into another way, you're trying to do religious works to be good and trying to pray 20 times a day, trying to fast 20 times a day, trying to, you know, go out to the piazza or to the streets to start handing out tracts. First of all, we must stand in this place where we are and begin to rediscover Christ in us. Rediscovering Christ in us causes us to see that gate that is open, that gate into the New Jerusalem, which is God's world, the new heavens, the new earth, where there is no more death, where there is no more fear, where there is no more torment, sorrow, where you don't have emotional hurts and all those kind of things, where you walk knowing that you are aligned in that eternal spirit, which is God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So it's all, first of all, the focus must be on rediscovering ourselves, rediscovering Christ. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 21 verse 19, this is Jesus still, you know, speaking concerning the end. He says, in your patience possess ye your souls. In your patience possess ye your souls. Hallelujah. Possessing your souls, what has possessing your souls got to do with the end? You see, when you read these kind of things, you begin to wonder if the end of the world has got to do with something, the world out there ending, suddenly coming to a grinding halt, and everybody becoming good suddenly, and God's King Jesus being established somewhere in Jerusalem. See, and the lion begins to, you know, to eat straw, and the child begins to play with the serpent. Now, if this is our impression of the end of the world, how come Jesus Christ says, in your patience restores your soul? Because it's simply saying, restore your soul in your patience. The soul of every man in Adam descended into that abyss of humanity, or into that dimension called this world. And the soul has been held captive. Captive in a system called the world. It's just like when you see an insect caught in a cobweb, and you see how the insect tries to escape from the cobweb. Some are not so lucky. Some are not able to escape from that cobweb, and they die off there, and the spider comes to feed on them. But you have some insects who are fortunate to loosen themselves out of that cobweb. In likewise manner, our souls have been trapped in a system, corruptible system, with diverse beliefs of men, and these things have held us to the ground, held us to an earthly identity, held us to a sense of belonging to that which is earthly. And as a result of these attachments to this world, we suffer hurts, we suffer pain, we suffer anguish of soul, we suffer fear, and we are corrupted. And you know, therefore alienated from the life of God. You don't even have the boldness to approach God. You see, those people who pray and shout all day, all night, and all that to God and all that, if God was supposed to be a man and God appeared, you discover that all the members of the church will run away. Even those who claim to be holy, if God was to appear, most of them will run away. Why is it so? It's simply because the conscience of a man has been darkened. He has a defiled conscience. He's corrupt. See, with his attachments to the beggarly elements of this world. So many things have tied us to this world, to this earth. The beliefs, our family beliefs, the beliefs that we are born. Praise God. The belief that we are flesh and blood, the belief that we are from this or from this part of the world or that part of the world, the belief that we are white or that we are black. Hallelujah. You know, I personally am from African extract, and I'm not light, I'm particularly dark. And you know, I have come across a lot of Europeans who truly did not want to offend me. You see, I could see how they tried to struggle, they struggled within themselves to treat me equally and to treat me fairly according to their own beliefs. They tried their best to treat me well. But you see, some of them were unable to. Why? Because they are what? Bound to that belief that they are probably white, that they are probably different, or they are probably superior. And some of these people don't intend to do it. Some of them don't intend to hurt. Some people don't intend to be racist. They don't intend to offend the other person out there. See, but he's trapped, in beliefs. He's trapped in, these diverse beliefs about his being as a human being and all that, a human identity. Praise God. See, and as long as you have these weaknesses in you, it's always difficult to access the presence of God in its totality. So what we simply need to do is to stand still and listen to the voice of the Spirit. Let the Spirit within us tell us what to do. Reveal the truth about ourselves to us. There has to be a fellowship going on within us individually. Praise God. It is this fellowship that sets us free. In your patience, possess ye your souls. See it. Possess your souls. Let your soul once more unite with the Spirit. Enter back into the consciousness of who you truly are. That true spiritual, immaculate nature of God. That is not of this material world. That is who you are. Eternal. As God. In the image of God. Perfect. Flawless. That's what you are. in your patience, possess your souls. Hallelujah. Let the Spirit lead you on. Don't be discouraged. Hallelujah. Don't be discouraged, because I tell you, some things at times pop out that make you feel bad. See, that sometimes I, particularly in the past, where certain things came out of me that made me go on for weeks depressed. Praise God. But listen to the voice of the Spirit. What you are is what you are, and nothing can change that. In your patience, patience. When there is no patience, there's always that tendency to get discouraged. When there is no patience, there's always that tendency, you know, to go back into the pig pen. So in our patience, you know, possess our souls, because the soul is precious. This is the only life, the redemption of our soul, how do I put it, is very, very precious. Jesus Christ said, what shall it profit a man if he gains this world and loses his soul? See, it's your attachment into this world that causes you your pain and your destruction and your hell and everything that you go through. What shall it profit a man if he gains this world, yet loses his soul to the destruction and, you know, the pains, and, you know, and his soul is cut off. Cut off from the land of the living. What shall it profit you? Hallelujah. We must meditate on these things. Abstain from this world. Stand in the Spirit. Stand in the light. Meditate day and night on this great revelation that we are hearing today, and exercise ourselves in it, in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Paul says that you ought, we should loosen ourselves from every weight. These things are the weights. These things are easily beset us. Loosen ourselves gradually. Hallelujah. Now, if you have family properties where you have brothers and sisters that fight over inheritance, the best thing is just leave it. Let go. See, don't let anything rob you of your place in God's glory. It's not worth it. It's not worth it toiling or fighting for something upon the earth that is perishable, only for you to lose that eternal glory of God. Hallelujah. If anything is blocking your view from God's kingdom, let go of that thing. Let it go. Loosen yourself from it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's quickly run to the book of Psalms. The soul is very, very important. Very important. In your patience, possess your souls. Hallelujah. The soul was lost, trapped in a system of flesh and blood, in man's system, man's world, in, you know, in vanities, in dust. Hallelujah. But we have to loosen our souls from the snare of the fowler as we hear the voice of the Spirit. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Hallelujah. You don't owe anybody anything. Neither does anybody owe you anything. So the only thing you can just simply do for yourself is to stand in the place of truth. Return back to your first estate in Christ, in the beginning of God's creation. That flawless life, that is all that you need to do. Let go of the illusion of your life upon the earth. And if you lose your life as a man, you will gain my, you will gain the I, you will gain Christ. You will gain your true life in God's kingdom. And that life never passes away, never fades away. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's the only way we can bear fruits of joy, peace, happiness. It's only by discovering that life. It's the spiritual man that bears fruit. The man of the flesh bears thorns and thistles, pain, sorrow, anguish of soul. Hallelujah. Let's quickly go to Psalm 49. Let us see this very, very wise sayings from the psalmist. Wise sayings, good to meditate on these things. Hallelujah. Because the problem seems to be man is not, most men are not able to overcome the illusion of this material realm. See, but you must put on spiritual eyes to see that it's all vanity. See, it actually puffs a man if he gains his whole world and he loses his soul. Hallelujah. Psalm 49, verse 6, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of the soul is precious and is seized forever. Hallelujah. Praise God. For you see that the wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish, and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thoughts, that is the thought of man, the inward thought of a man. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever and their dwelling place to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abided not. He is like the beasts that perish. This their way is their folly. Yet their posterity approve of their sayings. Like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed upon them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from before their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Be not afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he died, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee when thou dost well to thyself. He shall go down to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see the light. Man in honor, and you know, man that is in honor and understandeth not, is as the beast that perish. Hallelujah. Man in honor and without understanding is like the beast that perish. Praise God. Isn't that the way we walked as men? See, but the Spirit of God is here to give us understanding. He's here to give us understanding. Hallelujah. So that we do not perish like the beasts. He makes us wiser than the beasts of the earth. And all this comes by hearing the truth, hearing the gospel. See it, paying attention to the voice of the Spirit, so that foolishness does not rob us, you know, of the grace of God. Foolishness of man, seeking the honor and praise of men, seeking the glories of this world. Thinking that you can kind of immortalize yourself. Thinking that you can kind of immortalize your name. Thinking that you can kind of gain this name, this world. Hallelujah. The rich man in this context, the rich man, those who boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, he talks of the man who walks in the mistaken identity of the flesh. That's the man that walks after the flesh. Hallelujah. Who walks in a mistaken identity of flesh and blood. Who walks in relation to a material world. And neglects that invisible presence. He strays away from the truth and begins to walk in relation to the lie. That is the rich man. See, and he begins to name his house after his name. Now the house talks of your body. See, if you are really wise in the spirit, you know that you are the Lord's. In reality, our houses are the Lord's. Everything that we have is the Lord. This land, your body, your land is what? Is the Lord's. See, it's not Trevor, it's not, you know, John, it's not Peter, it's not nobody. It is Christ, it's the Lord's. See, that's why Jesus Christ says that those that have left all, that have left lands, houses for my name's sake, you leave land, you leave houses. He talks about, you see, leaving the outer identity so that Christ is no longer I, but Christ. Your house becomes the house of the Lord. Your land becomes the land of the Lord. Everything that you have is the Lord's. That's the man of the Spirit. See, those who walk in the mistaken identity, walk in the flesh, walk before men, simply forsake their mercies, and you see, they wind up in the grave. In fact, they are already in the grave. When you walk in, you are already dead in your sins and trespasses, and you know, corruption, you know, feeds on you. While the upright, there's a generation called the upright, and there's only one that is upright, which is Christ. In the morning, he has dominion. He's the one that has power over all flesh. He's the one that ruleth over all. Hallelujah. You see, the man of the Spirit, in reality, enjoys the labor of the man of the flesh. The man of the Spirit might not always have excessive material goods around him, but is able to enter into his rest and enjoy exceedingly more than those who think that they got down to themselves. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ gave the parable of the rich man who gathered riches into a barn. You see it? After years of project or whatever, and you know, he wanted to rest and enjoy what he had labored for. See, but Jesus described him as a fool. He died. He died that night. See, when we walk in darkness, without an understanding of our true spiritual nature in Christ, when we walk in ignorance of our identity as that living one, we are like the beast that perish. Praise God. And when we walk in ignorance, there is no redemption of the soul. The soul goes down the pit of destruction continuous. It's only as we become attentive once more and extend our hands towards our Creator, because God has always, He never changes. The way He announces the gospel to you is the way He announces to every man out there. Everybody has the opportunity. See, but we shut out our grace when we refuse to hearken to the gospel. Hallelujah. We must tear up ourselves and let go of everything. If I walk, it's not no longer I but Christ. If I speak, it's no longer I but Christ. He must increase and I must decrease. I must dissolve while He must appear. That is the only way I can stand in the morning and reign in life. Hallelujah. So let us not, you know, be like the man of this age whose inward thought is that probably he can immortalize himself, and forsakes Christ and God's kingdom. In your patience, possess your souls. The soul is precious. In your patience, possess your soul. Hallelujah. God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. That's Psalm 49 verse 15. For he shall receive me. Hallelujah. From the power of the grave. Thou shalt not leave my soul in hell. See, the grave is the realm of corruption where wasting reigns. And we know that he has come to give us life and life abundantly. Hallelujah. He has abolished death by his appearing, giving us access into that realm of immortal light. in the realm of blitz, lightning, flashes, beauty. Hallelujah. Let us praise God. Let us thank Him for this revelation. Hallelujah. Let us thank God. What shall it profit a man if he gains this world and loses his soul? In your patience, possess your souls. In your patience, ascend back. Awaken back into the reality of your spiritual identity in Christ. Stand in the light as He is in the light. Remember from whence you have fallen. Patiently, not being discouraged, patiently. Hallelujah. Patiently possess your souls. Oh, Father, we've heard your words today. Hallelujah. You've heard your beautiful words of love. Hallelujah. Increase us with that spiritual intelligence. Endow us continuously with this spiritual intelligence. Empower us, oh Father. Empower us to ascend, hallelujah, continuous ascent into your presence, hallelujah, so that we can consciously realize this thing daily, this love that surpasses all understanding, this peace that surpasses all understanding, this glory that is beyond comprehension. Oh, thank you, Father. You make us wiser than the beasts, hallelujah. Only you, only by your power, only by the knowledge of this revelation truth can a man be delivered from the power of the grave. Thank you, God. Blessed be your name, because you will not leave our souls in hell. You will not leave our souls to suffer in the realm of corruption. But you shall show us the path to your right hand, where there is fullness of joy. Joy, 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 hallelujah. Joy unspeakable, hallelujah, and pleasures forevermore. Thank you, Father. Amen.